You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. It is a stifling 100 degrees in Memphis this Saturday evening, August the 23rd. It's even hotter in the studio, literally and figuratively. I mean, we're sweating here. It's hot. And what we're giving you on air is equally warm, I guess you could say. It's all about Ferguson tonight in the Political Cesspool, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, James Edwards. Keith Alexander back out of the frying pan and into the fire tonight as we try to navigate the firestorm that is Ferguson, Missouri. And I had mentioned at the top of the show that all of the news at thepoliticalcesspool.org, all of the articles, all of the videos pertain to Ferguson. We've had a lot of contributors. One of the ones that I failed to mention is Nathaniel Kapner. Nathaniel Kapner was born to a Jewish family, converted to Orthodox Christianity, and just a guy that we really enjoy having on the show, a fountain of wisdom. He really hits the issues hard. He is a truth teller, and people always say, well, we're racist and we're anti-Semitic, and it's true, I guess, that we are pro-white, and that, of course, doesn't make us any of those other things. It makes us normal to be proud of who we are and to seek to advance our group interests. Everybody else does it. We talk about that every show, and it's okay. We do it, and we're white supremacists. Well, we reject that entirely. But we're not any of those other things either. If there are truth tellers out there, we like to work with them. And Nathaniel Kapner, Jewish, but he tells the truth and goes even further than we do on the issue of Jewish control of the media. And I know Bill Rowland. He was one of Bill Rowland's favorites. I was listening to that ad that we run for the council, and Bill Rowland speaks it. And Bill interviewed Nathaniel quite a few times on our show. Anyway, Nathaniel has a 4-minute and 46-second video entitled, Is Michael Brown a National Hero? We posted it on our website this week, commented and asked if we would play it on the radio show. He was so impressed by it, he wanted us to play it on the radio show. Alan, your wish is our command. Let's hear now a primer from Nathaniel Kapner, his take on Ferguson and Michael Brown. Let's hit it.
I don't know about you, but I revolt against crowning Michael Brown a national hero. Better the crown go to Darren Wilson, who, according to the Ferguson police report, shot Brown in self-defense. Yet there's already a bounty on his head.
Who do we want?
Darren Wilson!
How do we want
him? Dead!
Who do we want?
Darren Wilson!
How do we want
him? Dead!
And the media eats it up. For whether it's NBC...
What happened between Michael Brown and the white officer who shot and killed him?
CNN.
I interviewed a young man named Dorian Johnson last night. He was with Michael Brown when he was shot and killed, and he says there was no struggle for a weapon, that the officer was the aggressor, grabbed Michael Brown by the throat, he says, shot him several times, even as he had his hands up in surrender.
Or the New York Times. The spin is that Brown's a martyr, Wilson's a villain, and the rioters, victims. It's racist white cop shoots unarmed black teen that's shoved down our throats. It's a Jewish press rerun.
Well, outrage over the shooting death of an unarmed black teenager spilled into the streets of Hollywood today, a case that's putting the spotlight on race.
But we're never told that now unarmed Brown, that gentle giant, wasn't so gentle. Right before he assaulted Wilson, Brown used his big arms on a pint-sized clerk in a convenience store when robbing cigars. With a description of the robbery suspects broadcasted over the police network, Wilson saw Brown with the cigars, got out of his car, and confronted Brown per all lawful procedures when doing a felony pedestrian arrest. Brown resisted arrest, flew into a rage, pushed Wilson back into the car, and lunged for his gun. One shot was reportedly fired. Brown escaped running up the block. Wilson gave chase. Brown made a 180 and charged the officer. Wilson fired 6 rounds. 4 struck Brown's right arm and 2 struck Brown in the head some 10 yards away. Wilson had good reason to fear for his life, since Brown just attempted to grab Wilson's duty weapon with the intent to kill him with it and was charging back to try again. We know that Brown changed direction because this citizen's video reveals that he went down facing the cruiser at the point where Wilson originally stopped it for the arrest. Seen here, inside the crime scene tape with its emergency lights still flashing. So much for the accusation that Brown was shot in the back, running with his hands up in the air, surrendering. There's not a trace of blood on the back of Brown's white shirt, and the latest private autopsy proves this. But the Jewish-owned press, ignoring the facts, is escalating it all into a race war to divide our country. Wait a minute. The Ferguson police have a mandate to protect the lives of the law-abiding residents and store owners, many of them black, against the hoodlums.
A tense standoff overnight in Ferguson, Missouri, as police in riot gear confront looters. What started out as a night of peaceful demonstrations escalated into violence.
There were at least three Molotov cocktails that one of our crews saw. They were thrown onto the roof of a Domino's pizzeria. The police and the fire department were called in, and they were able to put out those flames quickly before much damage was done.
This is the scene, rather, from Sunday night when looters were going from store to store taking merchandise, everything from tire rims to athletic shoes. A total of 15 stores were hit in just a matter of minutes. 9 people are now locked up in the St. Louis County Jail. The interesting part, none of them are from Ferguson.
Looks like a coordinated strategic effort to fan the flames of racism. It's a bum situation all around. No one wanted this to happen, but the Jewish press uses it to push their own agenda. Just like every shooting tragedy, a few people die, and now we have to disarm the entire nation. Now one white cop shoots a black man, and every white person is a racist. There is a way out. Nationalize the press. Remove Jewish ownership and control, and stop the incitement of race wars. We can take America back, whether we're white or black. The Jewish press wants to divide us. Let's unite instead.
You know, if I was asked to condense my commentary on Ferguson to less than 5 minutes, I don't know if I could have done any better than Nathaniel Kapner. Keith, we only have seconds remaining in this segment, then we'll sink our teeth into this a little bit more, and there's still so much more we got to cover tonight. But what was your initial reaction to listening to that report and commentary by Nathaniel Kapner?
Well, it goes right to the heart of the matter. What do they say? When you hit the nail on the head, you drive it straight. You can always depend on Brother Kapner to do that. He will call a spade a dirty shovel, as my grandfather used to say.
When we come back, we're going to be talking with our regular contributor now, Matt the Copperhead, who drove to Ferguson. And we talked a little bit about that with Matt. He was with us in Nashville last weekend at the Council of Conservative Citizens Conference, and we got his report. But, he mentions, and I picked up on this today, too. I was walking through a store, and, you know, it was an electronics store, and they had all these TVs, you know, for sale, and coverage of this situation came on, and unarmed Michael Brown. They referred to him at least 5 times as unarmed Michael Brown, as if unarmed was his first name. His middle name was Michael, last name Brown. Unarmed Michael Brown. But you can commit crimes while not carrying a gun. I don't know if anybody knew that, but it is possible. We're going to take a break. We'll be back.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. Where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School. in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody, welcome back as our coverage of Ferguson continues. We have Matt the Copperhead on the line, our dear friend and regular caller, regular contributor now, and he was up in Ferguson, the only member of our team, the only person that we know personally that has been there, and he gave us a report on that last week, and he's calling again. Before we turn it over to Matt, Keith wants to say something to the Copperhead directly.
I just want to say the Copperhead is coiled and ready to strike. Let's have it. Take it away, Copperhead.
Hey, what's going on, James, Keith, and the rest of the festival family at large? Matt,
you got out of
Nuevo, New York, back in the heart of the beast.
You got out of Tennessee right in time, my friend. I tell you, you'd melt. The heat is on.
Yeah.
What do you got for us, buddy?
Well, you were absolutely right. I wasn't sticking around in Ferguson after the sun went down. It's when the real fun starts. And you got to hand it to Charlie LaDuff, but he had a he had some backup with a camera crew, and, you know, I was walking around with an iPhone and a smile, so I figured I'd pack up and head out so I wouldn't get any troubles. Definitely wasn't sticking around in that briar patch.
Okay, you still there, Copperhead?
The Copperhead's still here.
Okay, yes. We temporarily lost our connection with you, but no, it was great that you went up there, made for an excellent story last week. I missed the very last part of your commentary, but as this continues on a week since last time, you know, when we were in Nashville together, I was so taken in by the live audience and the atmosphere and the environment of the party. I knew that this was a big story. I mean, certainly it dominated some of the off-the-air discussions that we had had the night before when we went out to the restaurant, and I knew that this had the potential to be another Trayvon Martin. You never really know what the press is going to hold on to and what they're going to blow out of proportion and what, you know, gets discarded. But now, as I continue to watch this wall-to-wall coverage on all the television networks, and that they are still allowing these people to go out and break the law at will. I mean, you can't stand in the middle of a four-lane intersection that's a crime. I mean, that's not something worthy of death. I mean, obviously, but there is lawlessness on the street 2 weeks later.
I definitely see the same thing brewing up here, and I think they're going to, like Jesse Jackson called it, there's going to be a Ferguson coming to a town near you. I see the makings of, you know, the infrastructure with the executive branch reaching out to the Reverend Al Sharpton to be their man on the ground.
Well, let me say this, if I could, Matt. It looks to me as if the proper civil authorities are frozen into inaction by political correctness and fear of being called a racist. So consequently, the police are out there, armed to the teeth. That is one thing in which the demonstrators are correct about. They are armed to the teeth, but they might as well have no arms at all because they won't lift a finger to stop any of the lawlessness that seems to be going on there. In fact, we made the comment last week that this whole situation seems to validate the wisdom of the founding fathers in passing the Second Amendment, because the only shops that seem to have been spared from breaking and entering and looting are ones in which store owners stand in front of their stores with locked and loaded firearms, because that's the only thing that the rioters, the demonstrators know that, and they're one and the same, by the way, that there is, you know, that the police aren't going to do a dad blame thing to stop them. The only people that will stop them is an armed business owner who is looking at bankruptcy if he doesn't do something about this. You know, a lot of insurance policies, by the way, let us make this comment, exclude damage caused in riots. So consequently, if your store is destroyed by rioters, you have no recourse. You're down the tubes.
Correct. That's a very good point. You know, I was actively seeking out Asian shop owners for that reason. I wanted to get the, you know, their sense of what was going on. They were very reluctant to speak to anyone that was the media or anything, but they definitely had backup at night. That was that's kind of what I was told by some sources down there. But you're absolutely right, Keith, with the paralysis and fear, for the true word of what it is, that is very dangerous, that we're creating this sense of fear within our law enforcement community. You better not do anything, even if you're justified, and it's really a scary time.
Well, you're right, and I mentioned that in an interview earlier this week. I mean, they've got all of this police force, and they've militarized the police, and I'll talk about that more in the third hour, too. I mean, as a general rule, I'm obviously against that. I was against it in the 60s when they militarized the National Guard to force the southern states to break their own laws and violate posse comitatus. But, you know, here, you do have to have a show of force. I mean, you've got rampant lawlessness. You've got mobs in the streets. You've got to do something. But what do you do? I mean, what can they do if they try to enforce the laws, if these people get out of hands and they have to protect themselves? Are they going to end up like Darren Wilson? I mean, what can they do? Are they just there for a show? I mean, they obviously can't shoo them off the street, or they would have already done so. So they're basically just there for window dressing for the cameras, I guess.
Correct. One has to wonder, is this the lead up to introducing a civilian military quasi, you know, like a Jean Donray or a paramilitary force, perhaps the Black Panthers? I mean, one has to wonder, when you do not let your law enforcement that represents the citizens, paid for by the citizens, do their job, what's the next step here?
Well, and that's a good point. And certainly, I mean, it doesn't pay for the cops in Ferguson to defend themselves and to enforce the rule of law, as it appears as though it happened here. Are you going to end up like Darren Wilson? I guarantee you that this is just another thing. I mean, I wonder what's happening to the property values in Ferguson as a result of all this. But, you know, anytime you militarize the police, you tenderize the public into accepting it. It should never be done as a general rule. And, you know, we think recently to the Boston bombings when they bombed the Marathon and they just allowed it to happen. I mean, you shouldn't have this stuff. But, I mean, obviously this has gotten out of hand and has overwhelmed the local police force. This is a small town. But it goes back to something we've always said. You cannot have a first world nation with a third world population. Just this same week, I was in a story. I believe it was in Utah. I won't swear to it, but I believe it was in Utah. You had a situation where a black police officer shot an unarmed white suspect. And I don't know the details of that case other than that it was a fatal shooting. The cop was black. The person who was shot was white. Now, if that was a justifiable shooting, then I stand on the side of the cop. If it turns out that this case, the evidence proves, and you're really not going to have evidence. I mean, political correctness is going to skew the evidence in this case. But if God came down and descended from the heavens and said this officer was in the wrong, then okay, he was in the wrong and he should face justice for that. But the situation in Utah, you didn't see the whites rioting in the street because a white man was killed, nor did you see any media coverage allocated to that. And, you know, you did see a very small rally in support for this white officer in Ferguson, but all of the people in support of him were standing on the sidewalk very calmly, standing there with signs, very orderly. But, you know, I tell you where you don't see riots is in Chicago, where just in the last few weeks, 30 shootings, 30 murders, black-on-black shootings, no blacks are rioting there, or some are the lives of black lives worth more if they're shot by a white person? I mean, it would seem that this black-on-black violence would be something that the black community should be more upset about than this one shooting that seems to be justified. But, of course, in Chicago, with the 30 blacks killing 30 other blacks in just one weekend,
right,
there's no one to extort there. There's no one to shake down. There's no way to profit. And that's what's going on here. It is a damnable situation. They should be ashamed of themselves. They really should, for so many reasons. Matt, thank you so much for the call tonight, brother. We love you, and we'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
You heard the one and only Art Frith give out that phone number. We've had a few people try to get in with us tonight on the phone. We're going to open up the phone lines now. This is such a big story, and it involves everybody. And if you have an opinion on this, keep it clean, of course, but call us and let us know. You have a question, you want us to offer an opinion on an aspect of this story that we haven't yet gotten to, bring it to our attention. 1-866-986-NEWS. Bring it on. 1-866-986-6397. You can be on the air with James Edwards and Keith Alexander in the Political Cesspool. Whole show tonight dedicated to all things Ferguson and nothing but Ferguson. We have Jeff in Ohio. Jeff in Ohio. Jeff, what's on your mind tonight?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I've been a fan of your show for some time. It's the first time calling in, so you better
be
nice to me.
we will be.
I run a blog here in Ohio, or I'm part of a blog called Cincinnati is a Dump. And what inspired that blog was the fact I'm not from Cincinnati originally. I met a lovely woman whose family was from here, and I decided to call it home. But back in, 2000, 2001, something along those lines, we had a very similar type of an incident where it's amazing that the striking similarities between how things escalated and how quickly and all of the mistakes that happened. But of course, I'm referring to the notorious Cincinnati riots, where there literally were 120 plus people, white people, that were pulled from their cars driving downtown trying to get home from work simply for driving while white. Many were beaten to within an inch of their lives. Cops were sniped at. They were shot. One was hit and saved by his belt buckle. It was absolute pandemonium. Businesses were destroyed. Businesses were looted. They had worked long and hard to there was a dumpy area called Over the Rhine. It's a very proud area, a German area at one time, and then of course the blacks had taken it over, and that was it. But they were working on a revival of that area, and it was coming with brew pubs and all kinds of neat businesses that I was a patron at, regular patron, and that overnight absolutely just closed down. It shut off. It never ever to this day it never came back, and it never will due to what had happened. And the bottom line, guys,
speak
is
away from your mic.
A Negro shopping spree. Nothing more. They despise law and order, in my opinion. They view the police as sort of an establishment of all things white. Even though in the case here in Cincinnati, you know, they were alleging, well, you know, the cops be killing us, and I think 14 black youths, feral youths, had been gunned down. Now, what they don't mention, though, is of those 14, 9 or 10 were in the act of committing felonies, were armed, either had knives or guns, many were shot by black officers, et cetera, et cetera. The details don't matter to these low IQ pavement apes, is the bottom line. And there's no, it's not that, I'm not trying to, I'm not trying to sound crude. It's just that there's not a better way or another way to refer to this group of people. Some people refer to them as the FSA or the Free Crap Army, if you will, and that's fine too. There are lots of they're not even epithets. I mean, I think it's just a matter of it is what it is. I've rented to them. I've done business with them. I played football with them. I've been around them my whole life. When my wife and I heard gunshots from our upscale home during these riots, that's when we decided it was time to move. So we vacated, pulled up stakes, and fled north. And at the time, it was 90 92% white, the suburb we were in. That's now changing, and I think it's 80% white. Gentrification is coming here now as well. So we're moving out of state. I've had it. We're going to go out west and try to make maybe a last stand there.
Jeff,
I'm running for problems, but the problems keep coming here, and it doesn't seem like there are not enough like-minded people that will...
Jeff,
a development plan, Section 8, on a western side part of town in Green Hills, and the Jewish realtor that was involved in marketing this Section 8 community was receiving death threats. So that was on a hold.
All right, Jeff, thank you for the call, my friend. You've given us a lot to chew on. Longtime listener, first-time caller. Keith, of course, he's talking about situations in Cincinnati, which have been no different than situations in Katrina, for instance, in New Orleans after Katrina. You see it every time an opportunity is given. And it's not to say that every member of the black community or every member of the black race in this country is engaging in this type of behavior and that they're all in the tank for this line of thinking. But it seems as though the responsible ones in these situations never seem to find themselves access to a microphone. And so you don't see that, and that's unfortunate, but it is what it is, as he said. Let's talk about the rioting here, and that seemed to be what Jeff was talking about, and I want to thank Jeff for the call up there in Ohio. What do you make of the rioting? I mean, we talked about this last week in passing. You know, this was one of the few things in the movie Mississippi Burning that was accurate, and that was something happens they don't like, and they burn down their neighborhoods. They loot their own stores. They vandalize the businesses that cater to them.
Well, there's no price to be paid for this type of misbehavior. They don't lose their homes. The government steps in with Section 8 vouchers and puts them in better homes than the ones they've burned down. Only the unfortunate property owners that were relying on Section 8 vouchers to pay the rent and therefore allow them to pay the mortgage on the properties that are burned down are the ones that suffer. See, one of the things we've learned from the subprime mortgage debacle of 2007 is that when you get right down to it, most black people, or at least a large percentage of the population, really does not want to be a homeowner. Being a homeowner comes with a lot of negatives. You have a 30-year obligation, typically, in which you have to pay. People who aren't responsible would much rather have a 6-month lease or a 1-year lease, where if they default on that, they have the remainder of that 6 or 1 year term to pay, not the remainder of a 30-year term to pay. So consequently, the attempt to force black people to become homeowners ran into resistance primarily from the black population. They did not like the idea of being homeowners. They would rather be in a situation where if they run into a rough patch, they can move out of the apartment, stop paying it, move in with some relative or friend, and then wait till they get back on the upside and come back.
Keith's getting a call on the bat phone in the middle of the commentary here. But I want to just say, I mean, it doesn't appear as though there's an awful lot of critical thinking going on here. I mean, yeah, they're mad, but what good does it do to tear up their own areas? It just doesn't even begin to make sense, but it's not the first time it hasn't made sense. But this just goes to show, we were referencing Jared Taylor, his article at the top of the show. He has come up with a one-sentence line that almost universally explains away all of these situations, and that is, the history of race relations can be summed up in one word: conflict. Anytime you put people with different cultures, different traditions, different styles of behavior, different laws to which they've adhered to over the course of their evolution, you're going to have conflict. It just makes sense. It just makes sense. Pat Buchanan, you know, if you're enjoying the commentary that we're providing tonight on this critical story, you're going to love the supplemental articles that you'll find at thepoliticalcesspool.org tonight. I think we've got for you a compilation and compiled for you 10 of the best articles and videos on this story that I could find. So it's your one-stop shop for any reading material and common sense take on this. I mean, we're trying to give it to you on the radio tonight for those who prefer to intake their information via audio. But we got some good stuff. One of them is Pat Buchanan, and we were talking about Eric Holder's proclamation that he arrives not just as the attorney general, but as a black man into Ferguson. And Pat Buchanan just nails it, nails it. He writes that Eric Holder has a Sharpton-like obsession with race. 3 weeks in office, he declared America a nation of cowards for refusing to discuss race more. Arriving in St. Louis, he declared what I just said. I'm not just the attorney general, I'm a black man. Question. Pat Buchanan asks, what is the chief law enforcement officer of the United States who is heading up the federal investigation of the shooting of a black teenager by a white cop doing declaring his racial solidarity? We're going to talk more about it right after this, folks. Stay tuned.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0-degree sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called vigor. Would you like to improve your vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Folks, we want to hear what you think about Ferguson. We've got a caller in Alaska that we're going to get to in about 2 minutes. He's on the line. But what's your take? Well, are we on target tonight? Are we flying over the target? Are we missing the mark? 1-866-986-NEWS, 1-866-986-6397. I want to quickly read the following continuation of the passage from Pat Buchanan. He was talking about how Eric Holder flew into Ferguson, immediately declared his racial solidarity, irregardless of the facts of this case. I mean, we're consistent enough to say, let justice be served. If the white officer was wrong and killed this guy, I mean, yeah, this guy was probably a thug. It looked as though he was, but you don't deserve to die for that. Probably going to go on the wrong path and commit any number of additional crimes above and beyond his shoplifting earlier in the day, but you don't deserve to die for that. If this guy used unnecessary force, he should pay the price. But if he didn't, he should be vindicated. And it doesn't appear as though objectivity is what the Justice Department, ironically named, is going for. Pat Buchanan writes that Eric Holder related during his comments on Ferguson several incidents that stuck in his craw. Eric Holder wrote, or rather said, I can remember being stopped on the New Jersey Turnpike on two occasions and accused of speeding, pulled over, let me search your car, go through the trunk of my car, look under the seats, and all of this kind of stuff. I remember how humiliating that was and how angry I was. He also, Holder did, spoke of being stopped by a cop in Georgetown when he was running to the movies. Fine, Pat Buchanan responds. The great man is outraged by such indignities, but the mindset exhibited here raises a grave question as to whether Eric Holder can objectively lead an investigation of a white cop who shot a black teenager. In Eric Holder's mind, the verdict is already in. Any defense attorney, Pat Buchanan concludes, would have Eric Holder tossed out of a jury pool as soon as he started to vent like this. And now he's going to be presiding over this case when it appears as though Wilson inevitably goes on trial for his life. It's just like Trayvon Martin. They're going to force a prosecution here. The Justice Department, the Injustice Department, the media, they're going to force a prosecution. You know, there were going to be no charges filed against George Zimmerman because that case was so apparently open and shut. This one appears to be even more apparently open and shut. But they're going to force a prosecution, I feel. I hope I'm wrong. You know, I'm not going to get egg on my face if they don't, because I hope that they don't, but I think that they will. No charges were going to be fired in the Zimmerman case. They forced it. I believe they're going to force it here as well, and it's just a travesty of jurisprudence. Let's go to Chris in Alaska. Chris, you're on the line.
James, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Back in Memphis after a raucous remote in Nashville, and man, heavy stuff tonight.
Yes, it is. I'd like to tie together the last 2-3 weeks of radio since Sandy Kumi's appearance, if I might, and tie it into Ferguson. Anthony Kumi is a working class guy who grew up on Long Island, and I can guarantee you, I don't even know Scoop Stanton or his family, or Matt Copperhead and his family, or Tony from the CFCC last week, but I can bet you dollars to donuts, as they used to say, that all three of those guys and Anthony Kumi have something in common, and that is they used to live in an Italian or Irish or some ethnic neighborhood in the city, and Anthony Kumi's parents or his grandparents or maybe his great-grandparents, but they were driven out of New York City by liberal whites and black violence, crime, and property destruction. And that what happened in Ferguson is what happened in New York. It's what happened in Birmingham. It's what happened in Memphis. It's what happened in every city in this country with a sizable black population. And what is happening right now is the black folks are saying that we deserve to have a separate society with separate rules for us, and we're tired of living with white people rules, which is fine. But then the prosperity and peace and plenty and general good things that happen when you have a European white society are going to be denied those folks. And they want the same thing. They want all the bennies without having to play by the same rules. And that's what segregation and old consensus in the South did, was made everybody play the same rules. That everybody was going to play baseball, and that one team wasn't going to be playing football, and one team wasn't going to be playing baseball, and there'd be all this conflict. And they're deciding they would rather live under their own rules. That's fine. But you can't live under your own rules and have a separate society and then expect to be part of American society. And all that Anthony Kumi or the other folks at CSCC want is for everybody to play by the same set of rules. And if they're a little bitter about black folks' bad behavior, it's because it destroyed their communities. And the liberal whites used the same thing against small towns in the South. And the reason they did it is because the ethnic Catholics in the North and the small town in the South were the two groups of white people who had two things that the liberal whites hated, and that's a coherent culture and genuine religious belief. And they used black dysfunction as a weapon against those folks, and that's why people are upset about it. I'm not particularly happy about Ferguson, and I'm not particularly happy about the way things have worked out. And the reason I'm not is because it's a danger to me and my family.
Chris, you bring up a lot of fascinating points here, and it's, as you know, something I've picked up from Steve Saylor over at V-Day, or Peter Brimelow's website. Of course, Peter Brimelow, the former editor of Forbes magazine, good friend of mine. You know, political correctness is a war on noticing. And we notice that any time you have a great amount of diversity or a great amount of multiculturalism, that you see situations like this flare up. I mean, this is what diversity looks like. And as we always say, I mean, does every black person engage in this? No. Is every white person a good person? No. I mean, that's child's play. Everybody knows that. But unfortunately, there are rules and there are exceptions, and this is the rule as I know it. And you mentioned, yeah, you live in areas where there's a great disparity in the racial makeup, you know more than guilty white liberals in Minnesota or Washington State ever could. They can call us anything they want to, and it's easy for them to do that because they don't understand. And it's like Sean Bergen said, you know, another one of the great guests that we've had on who's paid the price for noticing and telling the truth. You know, is this a 150-year delayed reaction? You know, this rioting and looting? And yes, you have to abandon cities that your parents and grandparents helped to build just to get away from the threat of violence. I mean, I would be horrified if I lived in Ferguson right now. I would very much fear for the lives of my wife and daughter. And I got a 4-year-old daughter. I got a 7-month pregnant wife. Would I want them to be in Ferguson? No. No, absolutely not. Because it's not safe. And why is it not safe? Well, the media, the authorities, they are encouraging this typical behavior to take place. This lawlessness.
The same reason downtown Memphis isn't safe, and it's the same reason that your house costs $150,000 more than it would if it was in a different part of town, closer to
That's
your
right.
work. And it's the same, you know, and it happened in Washington, D.C., and it's happened in New York City, it's happened in Los Angeles, it's happened in, shoot, it's even happened in Seattle, in Tacoma. We're not talking about something that's a one-off event here. And, you know, the cesspool honestly addresses it, and we get called all kinds of horrible names. And really, ours is the only
solution. And it is, and of course it goes without saying, you know, do we hate these people? No, but do I want to live around the kind of people that are in the streets that I see on this wall-to-wall coverage every night, 2 weeks later, still in the streets? Do I want to live around those people? Hell no. I mean, absolutely not. I would move as far as I could. I would pay whatever price it took to get away from those kinds of people, because it just makes sense to do that. You do not want to be living around those types of people that roam the streets, that commit violent crimes, that... No, I don't want my family to be anywhere near that. And who would? What right-thinking person would, Keith?
Well, you can run, but you can't hide, unfortunately. We're seeing more and more of this happening. The left is intentionally moving third worlders into America, just like they're moving the people in the from the third world in the closest proximity to Europe, which is Muslims from the Maghreb, North Africa, into Europe, and they're encouraging the lawlessness. That's you know, the governor of Missouri is siding with the forces of lawlessness, calling for the prosecution of a police officer rather than allowing due process to take its course. So, you know, it's you know, we're seeing the whole edifice of our civilization crumbling right before our eyes.
Well, and I'll tell you what. Where is the true black leadership? The black leadership isn't Eric Holder and Barack Obama and their self-appointed man on the street, their eyes and ears, Al Sharpton. I mean, these are the worst of the worst. Now, there was a black fellow on Fox the other day that said everything that I would say. Stop the lawlessness. Stop acting like this. Let's let the facts come out. And if the facts prove that this was an unjustified shooting, then let's sue for justice. But, you know, that's what I would say. You know, if there was a bunch of white people out in the streets acting like fools, I wouldn't say that that's justifiable behavior to act like this. I would say it's wrong and they need to get their act together. You know, where's the true black leadership out there? Now, I can tell them to quit acting like that, but of course it's racist for me to say that because my people suffered slavery before their people did or whatever, you know, they want to do to excuse it. There is no excuse for this. And to pretend that there is a disservice.
James, the only thing I can say, okay, we'll talk more about this after these words from our sponsors.
We got one more hour, and it's going to be all about this, so stay tuned. And people, keep calling in. Let us know. Chris, thanks for the well-thought-out call.
Thank you, James.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.